Which brings us sort of, why did you leave? I mean, I know why you left, because you, in those days, you actually got promoted to being an in-house producer at EMI.
Yeah.
And I think I'm right in saying that one of the first acts that you signed as a producer was the almighty Pink Floyd.
That is right, yeah. Well, that came about, as a matter of fact, of course. I mean, before I became worked for EMI, I was a jazz musician and trying to make a living at that, struggling, of course. When Pink Floyd came along, I must say, that there was nothing in their music that really appealed to me that much. It sounds very strange, but nevertheless, it was so different to, of course, the kind of music that was my love, jazz. But I was invited by an agent, or he was trying to get the agency of Pink Floyd to go along and see them at UFO on Tottenham Road, because he thought they had a great future. So would I like to go along and have a look at them? Which I did. Their music, so-called, it didn't mean an awful lot to me, but they had a light show which was extremely impressive. And, of course, the following that was at UFO, I had to be, as well as a music producer, etc., I had to be a kind of a businessman too, and see if there was, I thought, EMI could make some money out of selling records. And so I could see that there was a future for such a development of business for them. And then I had to come back and convince the management of EMI that they were worth signing. The reason I say convinced was because in those days Pink Floyd wanted some front money up front. Which was unheard of in those days. And so I had a hard job convincing the management, but eventually we did. So we signed them. And I can't say that it was the easiest or even the most enjoyable of sessions or artists that I produced. Some of it was particularly difficult, particularly with a gentleman called Sid Barrett, who was not the easiest of people to work with.
A clever man, but his reputation goes before him.
That's right, yeah.
I don't know how you sum this up, but it was such a contrast coming from a band like the Beatles to Pink Floyd. I mean, what was the main difference for you, and how did you adapt to that?
Oh, well, it was extremely difficult to adapt to it, as coming from, as you say, something like the Beatles and my own musical career. But I got on extremely well with Roger Waters and Nick Mason and even Rick Wright, etc. But the only one difficult one, he was friendly enough with Sid Barrett, but extremely difficult to get through to in terms of any suggestions I might make in terms of alteration of the treatment of a particular song of his. I would bring him in from the studio after a take, and point out certain things to him, and say, rather than whatever you're doing, try blah blah blah, try something else, and told him what I had in mind. And so I'd say to him, okay, go back in the studio, sit, and let's try another take, let's do another one. And as soon as they went back out there, he would do exactly the same thing as he'd done before in the previous take. So I thought, well, you know, forget that. I'm wasting my breath and my time in trying to change it.
Right.
There was those kind of difficulties, you know. There are other stories considered him, but I won't go into it at this stage.
No. I mean, do you actually have a Pink Floyd favourite track?
Oh, yeah, I have a favourite track. Yes, I do. Yeah.
What is it?
It was See Emily Play.
Oh.
And the reason for that is because I was able to make some alterations and dress that up in a more commercial way than they were had in mind, you know. So And of course, it turned out to be a big hit. And so, there, yeah, that was my favorite track.
Right.